Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Bears returned to practice, and so too did Mitchell Trubisky. Sort of. He was limited as he continues his recovery from a shoulder injury. Will he play against the Giants? Should he play? And is anybody getting worried? Lauri Markkanen getting closer and closer to making his season debut. He felt good after his first full practice. When he returns, will he become the focal point of Fred Hoiberg's ace and space offense? And the Blackhawks say they have one goal. Golden Knights said, well, we have eight. Vegas hangs a snowman on the Hawks. Jeremy Culleton says the team took a step back, but have they improved at all? And welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good day staying warm. I'm David Kaplan. The panel for today's show from Fansided.com and WGN Radio. He is our guy, my sparring partner. He's also a tennis expert. He just lost in an elderly tennis league. His name is Mark Harmon.
Good to see you, David.
Good to see you. Hallmarkish, he is the brainchild, the guru of Pro Football Weekly. Catch him on the score as well. And the one and only Stucky, Luke Stuckmeyer, the Stuckman, here at NBC Sports Chicago.
Hub gets guru, I get Stuckman.
That's the best.
He is the guru, though.
Good to see you, Luke.
Absolutely. All right, Mitchell Trubisky did not practice much today. Very limited. Not a lot of throwing. So will he play against the Giants on Sunday? What say you, Pro Football Weekly guru?
Well, what's interesting is an hour before practice, Matt Nagy told us he didn't expect him to practice at all. So if he did get out and throw at all, I suppose that's something. I can't really see him playing Sunday if he's not practicing on Wednesday. Again, we don't get to watch practice, so I don't know what's really happening out there. But Matt Nagy has made reference a couple times to handling this the way they handle Khalil Mack and Allen Robinson, which was to give him an extra week off and get him ready for a big game. I think the Rams, a week from Sunday, qualifies as a big game. If he's not practicing today, I'm guessing he doesn't play Sunday.
Well, that worked, so why change it, right? It worked resting those guys more than they needed to. This isn't the biggest game of the year. The biggest games of the year are still coming up after that. So if you don't need them 100%, you just rest them. And you don't want this getting worse either. Yeah, you can't risk him at all. So until, first of all, the trainer says he's good to go and he can't make it worse, then you don't put him on the
field. By the way, here's our Ink and Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Would you start Mitchell Trubisky against the Giants if you were Matt Nagy? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. At the car.
I can remember a Bears quarterback. This is a different scenario, obviously, but I can remember a Bears quarterback who had a shoulder injury and never got over it, Jim McMahon. You don't risk Mitchell Trubisky's career in his second season if he's banged up right now. There's no reason to do it. Plus, I think what we saw from Chase Daniel, even, you know, you want to win the game. Guy played well. He looks completely capable of going out there running the offense. So I don't see any way, shape, or form that you're racing Trubisky back on the field.
You know, really, guys, on any given Sunday, swings both ways. Not only can you win any game, you can lose any game.
Absolutely.
But if the Bears lose to the Giants, it's because they couldn't handle Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham Jr. Not going to be because they've got Chase Daniel in for Mr. Trubisky at quarterback. The big risk for the Bears Sunday is, do they get trapped like they did in Miami? It's a very similar situation. You would hope they learn from that. And is the defense ready and focused? Because if they are, the Bears aren't going to get beat by the Giants.
I think Daniel will be even better this week too, right? I mean, he hadn't. It's his third start ever.
No practice last week.
Right.
They didn't practice. He had no reps. He'll take reps with the first team all week. If they choose to try and run the ball, that would help too. You know, we'll see if they do. Hopefully, they won't do that again.
You talking about that play?
Yeah.
Well, if he gets hurt, then you're down to your third stringer. That's how you lose to the Giants.
Matt Nagy said that we had that play set up to go for a touchdown.
Well, he's right.
And if Trubisky's in there, that probably is a touchdown.
There's four blockers out there, one tackler, and Chase found the tackler. So.
Yeah. But he did get the face mask, yeah, so he got 15 yards out of it. Eddie Jackson also named Defensive Player of the Week. He had two touchdowns in 4 days as the Bears went 3-0 in a 12-day span. Look, this guy obviously does a lot of film study. This guy obviously read the scouting report. I thought that was a magnificent read of that play.
Well, he also has tremendous instincts, and you know, you see certain guys who feel what's happening on the field in front of them, and that's exactly what happened there, because it's not like he was right on top of it. He came from 10 yards away, you know, once he either sensed or read what was going to happen. His timing was perfect, and he's a big play. Listen, I think we were talking about this earlier. Everybody saw his fourth-round draft choice. If it wasn't for the torn ACL and then the broken leg, I mean, he missed two seasons basically at Alabama, he would have been a first-round pick. It's not like this guy isn't a special talent. He didn't play in college. He wasn't healthy. Now he's healthy. He's playing great.
You follow at the Carm on Twitter, which is a great follow. I highly recommend it.
I follow it. Yeah.
Thank you, Luke. Appreciate it.
I blocked him.
Well, it's at the cat man. Not a great follow at the Carm. At the Carm, excuse me, phenomenal foul. I said somewhere in the third quarter, we are one pick six away from victory here, team. And there it was. And thank you for, you know, to Eddie for making me look correct, which is about the first time that a prediction like that ever worked for me on Twitter. So I personally have him in my will. I love the guy. Tremendous instincts and making my Twitter look supreme.
I will tell you, and you brought this up earlier, Hub, I got to give you props. Kyle Fuller is looking like a Pro Bowler.
Well, there's no question about it. As a matter of fact, the new voting tallies came out, and he is second. He's actually first right now in the voting. They listed him, but they're updating it regularly. He's the leading vote getter at cornerback as of whenever the NFL released this release they sent me about an hour ago. So,
but you know, it won't matter though. There will be no Bears in the Pro Bowl this year because they'll be getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Oh, very nice. Dave Wanstead pointed out that on that Eddie Jackson pick six, that if he doesn't pick it off, it's going the other way for a touchdown because there's nobody back there. So not only does he have great instincts, but he is a risk taker. And that's sometimes what you need in a great player, and he's not afraid to go make the big play.
And the other thing, too, the Bears' defense was completely on fumes in the second half. So if he doesn't make that play, and on the third and one at the two where for whatever reason Jim Popgooter's throwing the ball when the Bears couldn't stop the Lions' ground game at all. I mean, there were a lot of things that went right in that second half for the Bears to come through.
Let me ask you a question. You did the Atlanta-New Orleans game on Thanksgiving Day. How far are the Bears from the level the Saints are playing at?
Well, you know, the Saints are the best team in the NFC right now. They've beaten the Rams, and they're the two that are ahead of the Bears record-wise. But I think more than that, the Saints' defense has been playing much better the last 3 or 4 weeks, and there's no comparison on offense, you know. And a lot of it is Drew Brees, obviously, and I'm not saying Trubisky can't get there, but he's not there yet. But beyond that, what the Saints don't get enough credit for, they've got maybe the best offensive line in football. They've got a wonderful pair of running backs. They're not very good at receiver. That's the remarkable thing about the season that Brees is having. Michael Thomas is special, but that's it. They've got nobody else at wideout who's caught more than 15 passes. A lot of it is injuries. They have incredible balance. You know, one of the things that people don't realize about both the Rams and the, I'm sorry, both the Saints and the Rams, they're both top five in the league in rushing as well as passing. And so where the Bears are breaking down in the comparison with these two teams, obviously they're better on defense, but they're really not close yet on offense. And now that the Saints are playing better defense, it makes it really difficult for the Bears. The Rams, that defense is not very impressive. The Bears probably can hang with them. I don't know if the Bears can hang with the Saints right now.
Don't want to be the wet blanket here, Cap, but on your Super Bowl, but to think that the Bears can, A, win a playoff game at home, which I think is very possible, but then you're going to go on the road, you're going to beat the Rams and the Saints. I mean, that is...
You're convinced that neither of them will get upset in their first game.
Yeah, well, okay, let's play the odds. That's most likely what you're going to have to do. That is a tall task. That would be getting in the playoffs is a great season for the Bears. Winning a playoff game, that's phenomenal. Beating those two on the road... A little tall tree.
You're
there.
The one that denigrated me when I said they'd win 9 games.
Here we go.
I would never ever denigrate you. I want you to change that word. That is unfair. And I did, and I was not alone in that. I think everybody thought you were basically on the wrong side. It's one time you got something right in your life. I mean, so I would keep pumping it.
He would never do it, but he thinks everybody else denigrated you.
That's yeah.
Exactly. You deserved all the denigration you got. But congratulations.
Can they run the football?
The Bears?
Yes.
It's the $64,000 question, guys. I think that people may not believe this because I have a bit of a reputation around Hallis Hall as going there because I've been going there for the last, I don't know how many years. I battled John Fox over it for 3 years. Dowell Loggins didn't know what he was doing, so I didn't really get that excited about it. In this case, they have a pretty good plan. the way this offense works in Kansas City and Philadelphia and the way they're building it in Indianapolis now, the running game is a huge part of it. And I don't understand where Nagy is at. I think he's done a wonderful job. I'm probably going to vote for him for Coach of the Year. So it's not like, you know, I'm not high on the guy. But he comes back from Detroit and says, the most important thing I can do over the bye week, or the mini bye now, is figure out this running game. I can figure it out for you, Matt. When you go to Detroit, you drop back to pass 42 times, you give the ball to your running backs 11 times, you're not going to have much of a running game. So we don't know what it is, what the block is right now. You know, I don't know if they're very, I don't think they're good enough on the offensive line to be as good on the ground as the Rams and the Saints are, but they can be better. We know that. And for some reason, they're not trying to.
I was going to say that is one of the other big differences between those two teams, the Saints and the Rams. You know they can run the ball. Worst comes to worst, weather gets bad, they can run the football.
I mean, I think the Bears will run the ball next year after they have an offseason of adding on free agent-wise and drafting on the line. You look at it.
And they'll get another back instead of Jordan Howard, probably.
That's a possibility, too, although I really don't think it's on Jordan Howard. I think he's plenty capable of being.
I'm just not sure he's a fit for what they like to do.
I want to caution you guys about one thing. I got nothing else to do. It's my job. It's a really bad year for free agency offensive linemen. It's quite possible the best offensive lineman in free agency next year is going to be Bobby Massey.
Ouch.
It's just not a good group, and you don't have picks in the first and second round. So this is the next big challenge for Ryan Pace.
Oof. How you keep this thing together.
No, I mean, they're still young and growing. I mean, improving the offensive line.
I'm not putting
this on the offensive line, but they got to get better.
Well, Kyle Long getting healthy would help too, obviously, if that's...
It'd be a big difference.
Will Le'Veon Bell find the deal that he thinks is out there?
Not a chance.
Bears.
Not a chance.
Would you sign him if you were the Bears?
Depends on what I had to pay him, but he's not the perfect fit for Matt Nagy's offense either. You got to have speed. He wants a running back who can run like Kareem Hunt. And that's not Le'Veon. Le'Veon Bell's a great back, but to be honest with you, the way he kind of stops and stutters and picks and chooses, he's probably not going to be that much better in this system than Jordan Howard.
Can't the Steelers just do it to him again next year?
They could franchise him again, but they won't, because there's a idiosyncrasy in the CBA that it's some absurd number if they try and franchise him a third time.
Yeah, he'll be walking out that door, mm-hmm. going somewhere else. All right, Bulls got some good news, and they need it. Lauri Markkanen felt very good after his first full contact practice. He could be back as quickly as next week. How much will his return improve Fred Hoiberg's beleaguered team? And Jeremy Culleton's Blackhawks took about 8 steps back last night. Vegas hit the jackpot again and again and again. Have the Hawks improved at all?
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Thursday, before the Blackhawks take on the Winnipeg Jets, join NBC Sports Chicago for a special edition of Blackhawks Pregame Live, presented by Coors Light, on location from Smoke Daddy, an awesome spot in Wrigleyville. Coverage begins with Pat Boyle at 6:30 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Progress is never going to go in a straight line, so this is going to be steps back. Tonight was a step back. We have to get right back at it as quick as we can and come up with a much better performance in the next game and give ourselves a chance to win.
Well, it was ugly, ugly last night. 8-3, Vegas destroyed the Chicago Blackhawks. Luke, what was your takeaway from last night? Because we were told at the press conference announcing Coach Q's dismissal, this is a playoff team.
Well, it didn't look like
no chance.
No, it didn't look like it. And there were a lot of goals. And you can't blame Corey Crawford for all of them. The defense in front of him, it's just guys chasing the puck all over the place. And I think the real key to last night's story was what you heard Brent Seabrook and Jonathan Toews say afterwards. They both called out the team wasn't ready to go. They've given up 11 goals in the first period in their last 4 games. They've been outscored 11-1 in the first period. You're not going to win very many hockey games like that. And, you know, Toews said, frankly, it's tough to stay positive when you're getting spanked. They're calling out some of the other guys in the team saying, let's go. We've got to be ready when the game starts.
Yeah, I don't want to diss young Mr. Culleton. He deserves a chance, but I do have to disagree with him. I think the Blackhawks' progress has been a straight line since he took over. It's been straight backwards. And when the team isn't ready to go, when the puck is dropped, there's only one guy you look at for
yeah.
that. You know, now give him a chance. I mean, it's not fair. I don't want to jump on him too early, but it sounds to me like that there's guys in that locker room who just aren't listening to him.
It just feels like the Hawks' best chance is if Corey Crawford's going to stand on his head. I mean, I like the fact that at practice today he's kind of putting it on his own shoulders, giving up way too many goals. Obviously, he's not getting a lot of help in front of him. But right now, you look at what they're rolling out there on the blue line. I mean, there's just...
How do you make a trade, give up your one marketable asset that you're willing to move, and not get a defenseman back?
Well, they're going for the 2-for-1. They're trying to build depth on the top couple lines. And Jamal Mayers had said on our Blackhawks Talk podcast that he didn't think Schmaltz was a top six player this year. So were you really giving away that much if the guy's really just a third or fourth line player? At one point, they thought he was the future number one center on the team, but he just didn't have the consistency. Schmaltz was bad this year, real bad.
2 goals.
Now, maybe they gave up too early. I don't know.
All right, let's move on to basketball. Lauri Markkanen is getting much closer. He has been cleared for full contact, went through his first workout, and after it was completed, said, I feel really good. He's expected to return next week. Could play in the fourth game of a four-game trip at Indiana. More likely, he'll play next Friday when Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook roll into town. All right, Mr. NBA Mark Carmen, what is your takeaway on where this team's headed once they get that guy back?
So, did you have the Bulls in the NBA Finals this year?
I did not.
You didn't? Okay.
I had them in the playoffs.
Good job, Luke.
Sorry about that.
I like the optimism. Yeah, you know, when you just watching him shoot right there, I don't like that he's still wearing the sleeve. Like, that's when you know a guy's healthy, when it's all you get is that nice, beautiful elbow of a Lauri Markkanen. But this is actually working out for the Bulls. You're going to be in the lottery, and hopefully it'll roll your way, and you'll get one of the three Duke players. If they had made the playoffs this year, it would have been as a 6, 7, 8 seed. They weren't going anywhere. So it's been a nightmare. It's impossible to watch them. Zach LaVine waving off guys to shoot a step-back three, barely grazing the rim. That was entertaining, but that was awful basketball. So, I mean, I expect Markkanen's going to be fine, and I think he'll play very well, and I think the Bulls are going to start to win some games. You just don't want to win too many games. That's the reality.
They're just not a very compelling basketball team right now. I mean, Wendell Carter has been a pleasant surprise, and I think he's going to be a better player than I thought, but he's not a guy you're ever going to say, I got to go buy a ticket to go watch Wendell Carter.
Wasn't this cap on the playground here, Hub, though, the way waving everybody off, I got it?
This whole roster, you know, I think there's a lot of young talent, but for whatever reason, there's something missing. It's just kind of hard to get excited about him. I think Markkanen is probably the most excited of the group, but he's not going to be your number one. You know, he's not good enough to carry a team. So, as it's like Mark was saying, yeah, they're going to start to win some games. They're going to start to lose draft position, and they may be stuck in purgatory right now. I don't know.
I'll tell you one guy who is playing better. Jabari Parker is looking better each game. Moving better, more fluid.
Picking up his $20 million option.
Good enough
no.
to trade?
Yeah, I think you could trade Jabari Parker. Absolutely. I think Jabari Parker is a guy you could very well move at the deadline. I'm not saying you're going to get a ton.
A lot of money, though.
It is a ton of dough.
They're spending all that dough into their cap.
There's a lot of guys in the league who have bad contracts that maybe you'd want to take on, and you get a draft pick along with it. That would make sense to me. I don't see him here long-term at all, but he is playing better. So, the whole mental side with Jabari, I guess some people say he just can't handle the losing because he's, I mean, you know, Duke guy and all that type of stuff. But it's not like he's been winning NBA titles up in Milwaukee. So I don't get that part.
The reason it's NBA hell in the middle ground is that they have to see their young guys, the Markkanens, the Levines, done when he comes back.
Portis.
Carter, Portis, whoever. I don't think Portis will be a longtime piece of this team moving forward. But those other guys, you've got to see them play and turn into NBA All-Stars. And the only way to do that is they're going to win games. And the only way to get Zion Williamson is to lose. I'd rather see the guys on the court now turn into really good players and win some games.
All right. College football top four is set, but will it change at all at the championship Saturday? Ohio State and Oklahoma still have a shot to get there after a mostly predictable season. Is it time to expand the playoff field?
Hey guys, this is Lance Briggs. Make sure to join me, Matt Forte, Alex Brown, and Lawrence Holmes every Sunday after the game for the Football After Show on NBC Sports Chicago.
The Football After Show is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
All right, college football playoff right now, top four. Bama, Clemson, ND, and Georgia. Go Georgia this weekend. Boy, it'd be great to see Georgia beat Alabama. You got Clemson, Notre Dame. I mean, you're looking at some really interesting matchups, Hub.
You are. You know, I know everybody thinks it's automatic that Alabama's in even if they lose, but I don't get how that works. I mean, then they become one of a handful of one-loss teams with the most recent loss. They lose to number four. I personally know Alabama's the best team, and Georgia shouldn't beat them, but if Georgia does beat them, I don't see how it's fair to Oklahoma and Ohio State to just automatically put Alabama in anyway.
But they would all have one loss, and Alabama,
the eye test tells me. Ohio State's going to lose to Northwestern.
That would be amazing.
That's
Pat Fitzgerald, by the way, you're Big Ten Coach of the Year.
Pat Fitzgerald deserves that and, like, next year's award for what he's done with his Wildcat team. This has been an incredible accomplishment. That's all I care about, Cap. I don't care about the top four. I don't care about Oklahoma. Just one time. Go to Indy and beat Ohio State. Just do it one time for the love of humanity. Just to take out the Buckeyes would be incredible. I'd give them a fighting chance too, by the way.
And not to bury the lead here, but Georgia's not beating Alabama, so the conversation's
right. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No
yeah.
question about it. You know, it's interesting, this Ohio State Northwestern game. Northwestern, I mean, from 0-3 in their non-conference games to where they do you know what their record is the last 16 Big Ten games?
I do, Cap.
15-1.
That's right, buddy.
15-1, and the only loss to your Michigan Wolverines, and they were down 17-0, Michigan.
Yeah, they had Michigan. Listen, Ohio State, this is not a great Ohio State team. They are very beatable, and I do think Fitz is the best coach in the Big Ten right now. The difference in athletes on the football field
right.
is what makes
their speed,
it so difficult.
Ohio State.
It's really difficult.
Is there anybody outside of Columbus, Ohio, that doesn't want Northwestern to win that game?
I can't believe
not too many.
I'm guessing half the people in Columbus Ohio wouldn't mind.
It would be unbelievable.
I think that's actually an interesting part. The Cats have been a great road team, but if the whole crowd in Indy turns for Northwestern, I think it does give them a little extra juice. Perhaps I'm just trying to dream up a scenario here. The whole crowd's going purple. Come on. Oh, I mean, Michigan fans, you bought those tickets. You're definitely rooting for purple.
There'll be a big Ohio State crowd there.
But
it's not like Indy's that far. And as a matter of fact, there'll be more Ohio State fans because Northwestern is Northwestern. We'll all be pulling for Northwestern.
Right.
But, you know,
right. If you had a live
crowd,
look into people's homes that are watching all over.
Oh, it's all about
it
guy.
Would be Northwestern, pro-Northwestern.
How about if Northwestern does win the game and he's got that facility to recruit to?
Incredible. Guys, thank you for being here. Stay warm. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. College basketball is next as UIC visits St. Joseph's. Remember, Bulls pregame live 6:30 on NBC Sports Chicago. Let's have a great evening. We'll see you back here.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.